Deus preordilexit nos. God has loved us first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the end of the book of Job, the holy suffering man, having lost so much, his wealth and possessions, his family and descendants, his friends, the health of his body, cries out to God in anguish, yearning for meaning in the midst of his suffering. God responds to Job out of the whirlwind with words that seem to strike us, saying to him, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world?" It seems strange to us and thoroughly dissatisfying. Job accepts our Lord's rebuke with little response. In the whirlwind, in that moment, Job saw something more. And yet, in the response to the holy man, we might see perhaps that indeed Job glimpsed at the deepest reality hidden in those very foundations of the world of which our Lord spoke, that the foundations of the world were laid in love. In the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, we glimpse those very foundations on this sacred day. Blessed Columba Marmion writes that the Feast of the Sacred Heart is in many ways the culmination of our Christian cycle. For in the revelation of the image of the love of God, we see the very reason for all of our Lord's mysteries. Why did he so lovingly prepare his chosen people for thousands of years? Why did he send forth his precursor, whom we just celebrated this week? Why did he spare his blessed mother, our queen, the stain of original sin? Why was he born to her a little infant, helpless, defenseless, save for the care of our blessed mother and of our dear patron, Saint Joseph? Why did he live a hidden life for 30 years? Why subject himself for 3 years to the misunderstandings of men, to their insults and their plots? Why on that fateful night that he gave himself with his own hand, instituting the sacrifice of redemption, why did he take upon his shoulders the burden of our every sorrow, of our every pain? Why did he walk that sorrowful way and choose to fall under the weight of our sins? Why was he nailed to a tree of shame, the cross? Why was the very image of his love pierced, opening, as St. Augustine says, like the very Ark of Noah, as a refuge and a source of infinite treasure? In the image of this heart, of this sacred heart, we have our answer. Here we are with our Lord at the very foundations of the world, foundations laid in love. Let us then return to the beginning, briefly, to those foundations. In the 6 days of creation, there is indeed a wonderful gradation. Our Lord begins creating inorganic substances, light in the heavens, plants, animals, and increasing sophistication. And it is though each of them are yearning, tending towards that crowning achievement of God's creation, a human person, Adam and Eve. All of creation until that sacred moment of the arrival of our first parents can only give to God what we call a passive glory. Indeed, undoubtedly, you are like me. How many times have you looked up on the heavens and seen the beauties in nature, mountains and forests, seen the various ways that creation sings the praises of our God, and yet the praise and glory which they give to God can never equal the praise of a mind that knows him, of a heart that loves him. In that very first chapter of Genesis, the Blessed Trinity, using that mysterious plural at the beginning of our salvation history, says of Adam, "Let us make man according to our image and likeness." It is principally according to his mind and to his heart that the first man is made in God's image and likeness. And here we see at last that all of creation indeed was tending towards the arrival of Adam. In Adam, creation has found its crowning glory. Here is a mind that can understand God through his marvels, but more crucially, a heart that can love God so manifested. Our first father, Adam, possesses a voice that no other creature possesses, a voice that can pray to God, that can adore him, that can thank him, that can ask him for its every need, a voice that rises from creation to the loving Creator. Adam and Eve together are called by God. The fruitfulness of their union open to God's life and grace to bring forth other voices like their own in order to sing the praises of the eternal God. Their marriage is destined to be the fruitful hearth and home of innumerable voices rising up from creation to the God of our minds, the God of our hearts. Sin, the sin of our first parents, enticed by the father of lies, the devil, appears to frustrate the plan of our Lord and God, but it does not. On the contrary, as we pray at the offertory at Holy Mass, God has marvelously established his creation, but even more marvelously redeemed it. The very instrument of our fall will become the instrument of our salvation. The wood of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will be overcome in the greatest display of love a human heart has ever shown. A heart that was both human and divine on the tree of life, the true tree of life, the tree of the cross, when that same heart, that sacred heart, would be pierced for our salvation. Towards the end of the same book of Genesis, the patriarch Israel, Jacob, nearing the end of his life, calls forth his sons, the forerunners of the 12 tribes of Israel. And to Joseph, his favorite son, he issues this mysterious prophecy. May the blessing of your father and of your father's fathers be upon you until the desire of the everlasting hills should come. Who is this desire? What are these hills? There is a sense in which Adam was the desire of the first hills of creation that issued forth from the hands of God, our Creator. But this mysterious title, desire of the everlasting hills, appears in another place. In the litany of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, which we chanted just before Mass, we pray, Sacred Heart of Jesus, desire of the everlasting hills, have mercy on us. Our Lord has marvelously established his creation, but even more marvelously redeemed it. Adam was, in a sense, the desire of creation, but Christ is the true desire of the new creation. Had Adam not fallen, if our first parents had not bowed to the lies of the evil one, Adam surely and Eve as well would have offered to God a beautiful hymn of praise, a good hymn of praise, perfect in its human way. But there would always have been a sense in which that praise would be inadequate. How could Adam's human voice ever equal the greatness of our God? There could be no hymn, as beautiful as it would be, that Adam could sing, that would ever equal the grandeur, the beauty, the love of our God. However, when God the Father, hidden in the eternal designs of his loving providence, ordained that not only Adam and Eve and we, their children, but all of creation should be redeemed, redeemed by the outpouring of the precious blood from the most sacred heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, he established that his Son, the only begotten Son, would take on our human flesh, and that he would be a perfect man, like us in all things but sin. In his very perfection, he, the eternal Word, the one and only word that God speaks, the one and only hymn that God himself sings from all eternity, that very word would enter our world as a poor little infant. Our Lord Jesus Christ would raise to God the Father, now with a human voice, the hymn of eternal praise that he had never ceased to sing in the heart of the Trinity. Here in our one true mediator, in our eternal high priest, in the true heart of our God, in the living image of the Father, we, the brothers and sisters, co-heirs of our Lord Jesus Christ, may offer to God the Father, united to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a hymn of praise that is worthy of God, that indeed is nothing other than the hymn of praise that God the Son offers to his Father from all eternity. A perfect adoration, a perfect thanksgiving. And we, though fallen and tinged by sin, may now offer through the Sacred Heart a perfect satisfaction and reparation for our own sins. And by the very Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ sent down upon us, we may ask for the greatest of heavenly gifts and never fear to be denied. In the image of our Lord's most sacred pierced heart is to be found the image of true love. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us in his hymn, Adoro Te Devote, that one drop of the most precious blood of our Savior would have been enough to save us. Why then, we might rightly ask, why must our Lord endure so much suffering? Why must he go to such extremes, bearing all of our burdens to redeem us? In the crucifix, we contemplate the true hideous nature of sin, yes. But more importantly, we contemplate the ineffable and infinite love of our God for us. To a heart that truly loves, enough will never suffice. Jesus loves Holy Mother Church, his bride, so much, loves each of our souls in so profound a way that he could never be content until he had poured out every heavenly grace upon his bride. God loved us first, St. John tells us in his first epistle. On this high holy day, we celebrate a great revelation. The truth of our Catholic faith is not the truth of a mere idea or a sacred text, but a loving heart, the burning furnace of divine charity that is the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we contemplate the foundations of the world, foundations built upon love. Creation has waited for this moment when a voice might rise that could honor the Creator with fitting praise. A mind that knows him, a heart that loves him, a hymn of unending adoration. Let us raise in a spirit of loving reparation, therefore, our own voices, united to the voice of our Good Shepherd and King, the true love of our hearts, the desire of the everlasting hills, the foundation of the world and its crown. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.